Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Right, we're going to get some tips for a good, easy, basic curry now. And I'm delighted to be joined again by Aaron Cappell, spice expert, chef and founder of Green Saffron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Brendan. How are you doing?
Before we get to the recipe, I believe there are spice shortages, are there?
Yeah, do you know, there has been. I'm just recently back from India, and I suppose people might even have been finding, for example, difficult to get hold of French mustard on your supermarket shelves. Because 80% of all sort of world mustard seeds are grown in Canada. And Canada had a drought in 2021, which impacted then the crop harvest 22. So, yeah, there's very little mustard seeds. So that was a big problem. But then that, obviously all spices are like globally traded, that had an impact so that this year in India, they're now planting more mustard seeds in preference to cumin. Okay. And there's now predicted to be, yeah, because obviously, you know, you can't chase the trade, obviously. So unfortunately, though, what that possibly means for this year is that cumin prices are going to go up because there's a high demand in China. There's new regulations coming more severe around pesticides and insecticides in America. They're kind of starting to meet the European standards now. And so that means that a lot of the crops grown in other countries, let's say in towards the east, let's say Turkey and Russia, some of those crops might not make the EU or the USA regulations. And so therefore, it looks like cumin could be a bit of a problem this year, Brendan.
So if we think we have problems now, we're going to have the great cumin wars of 2023. Is the saffron okay? Your signature spice, is that all right?
Yeah, it's getting better. Look, it's stabilized. There was a real problem because we tend to source our saffron from Kashmir and Jammu, so sort of Monga, saffron Monga. I personally feel it's absolutely beautiful and the best saffron in the world, clearly slightly biased. But yeah, there was a problem there. I mean, climate change is affecting so much agriculture, clearly here in Ireland, but also away in places like Kashmir. And so the droughts there and the extended summers has meant that the crop was actually decimated by about 60% 3 or 4 years ago. So clearly the price shot up with saffron as well. Yeah.
So you said you were back in India sourcing spices. Is your company still connected back to India?
Oh, crikey, yeah. No, that's the kind of cool thing that we have. Everything that Green Saffron does begins and ends with spice. So we work with the sarpanches, with the villages. We literally work with the farms in India. We started, Brendan, about 12 years ago, you may recall, I mentioned previously, with about 7 farmers. We're now up to about 2,500, 3,000. So yeah, no, we're deeply rooted in the communities and in the farming communities in India and sourcing our spices direct from there. And we've invested heavily now over the last few years in a plant in our strategic partners in Mumbai, in Bombay. So yeah, no, we're heavily entrenched in India. Proud Irish company, heavily entrenched in India.
Amazing. Tell me about the street food in India. Is it amazing?
Oh, it's just flipping phenomenal. Look, I was actually this time I concentrated myself in Mumbai, and I love whenever I'm going to India, I always try to go to Gujarat. Ahmedabad is a place particularly that I like to go to in Gujarat. And I was one night, I had a few hours to kill. So I jumped in a rickshaw for 80 rupees, which is about sort of 20 pence.
Yeah.
I had a little journey, about 15 minutes, to a place called Manek Chowk. And the most amazing street food, it was like this. I chose an aloo tikki, which is like a potato cake. And then it has this lovely tomato spicy gravy. Yeah, beautiful street food.
Okay, so recipes. You're going to give us a simple curry paste that basically a catch-all that people can keep in the fridge then and throw it into anything.
Yeah, and this is just a really simple thing, Brendan. Obviously, there's so many different variations. But in essence, really simple version is to chop up a couple of onions, peel them and chop them, and just fry those gently in a little olive, well, not olive oil, like sunflower or grapeseed oil, some flavourless oil.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be ghee.
Well, you see, that would be my preference.
Okay.
Absolutely correct. Always go for ghee because it adds a real rich. Oh, you're very good, Brendan. add a really cool depth of flavor and richness. Yeah. But if you're not really going for that, then like a sunflower, grapeseed oil is perfect.
Okay.
So sweat those down gently. Don't necessarily try to color them. Then add in a couple of teaspoons of tomato puree. And because you're adding tomato puree, add a teaspoon of sugar. Just gently fry it for a little more, a couple of minutes. Then tip all that into a food processor or a blender or, you know, a pestle and mortar or something, whatever you can mash things up with. add into that 5 cloves of garlic, a teaspoon of salt, a nice bit of ginger, like a big chunk of ginger, 20, 25 grams or so, and then 6 teaspoons of your favorite curry powder. Now, clearly, Brendan, there's only one company you should be buying your curry powder
go
from.
Go on. But straight from powder. The villages of India. Yeah, go on.
We are, you know yourself. Yeah, but I've also given you a little recipe there, which we could go on about. But there's a little recipe there for curry powder. But
and listen, so the ginger and the garlic is raw in that, yeah. Is it? Yeah, okay.
Well, we've cooked the garlic out to sort of bring all the flavours together with the onions. But I'm adding the raw ginger. Yeah, you're right.
The raw ginger. Yeah, okay.
Because that keeps the sort of warmth and vibrancy and gives it a lovely fresh feel. So then you add a teaspoon of cider vinegar or some sort of vinegar. Malt vinegar is fine.
Right.
Handful of coriander leaves and just blitz it up. Simple as that until it becomes a nice smooth paste. And the brilliant thing with that is you can pop it into a jam, you know, a sterilized jam jar that you've heated sort of thing. Pop it into there, pour a little more oil on top, and that'll keep in your fridge for at least 6 to 8 weeks. It's okay. A fantastic, easy, simple way of doing it.
Super. And we'll put that up on our website, rt.ie/Brendan. We'll also put up, you've given us a recipe for Rogan Josh. Does such a thing actually exist in India? Like, I presumed it came from the north of England or something.
But you know, exactly that. No. It has come from, actually, it's not from England, but from India. So many Indian dishes are named by either something that is a notable feature of that dish. For example, korma is actually a style of cooking. It's like a sort of broiling style of cooking. Buna is actually like a confit style of cooking. And Rogan Josh simply refers to the red colour of the dish.
Okay.
So Rogan Josh in Hindi translates as red juice, essentially, you could say. So, it's one of my sort of favourite curries because it's really earthy, but at the same time, it has a beautiful fragrance with the cloves and the green cardamom.
And then, what would you put in that? Lamb generally is kind of what we
see
here.
You know, exactly. And the reason I would suggest it worked well with the sort of red meats, Irish red meats, obviously beautiful, is because of the earthy nature of the spice blend. Chicken, I know a lot of people like chicken Rogan Josh, and I would always use thighs if you're going to use chicken. But I think the spice blend is quite earthy and quite kind of strong for a white meat or a fish. So I would always go with a red meat. Yeah.
So come here, is the Indian food we get from Indian restaurants here, I know some of them now are gone a bit more kind of, you might call it upmarket and a bit more kind of, I don't know, authentic. Is there authenticity or what is authenticity or is this stuff changing all the time anyway?
Do you know, Brendan, you're bang on. I'm mixed heritage anyway. I'm half English, half Indian. So I think there's so much sort of fuss and bother about these sort of terms. My way of looking at what I describe, and obviously I can't speak for all Indians, how I believe Indian food has come about is come from one of three places, either from the street food, as we've discussed. It comes from the home, the Indian family home, or indeed from the Kansama. So the Kansama was the sort of the head chef of the royal palaces. So in the north, the Mughals, and to the south, the Nizam rulers. Now, the Kansamas were the ones back in the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Briefly.
Sorry, yeah, and they had access to, because they worked for the Maharajas, were rich, and so they could buy ingredients from all over the place and invent new dishes. And it tends to be those places. Correct, exactly that. That was the original fusion cooking, and it is that which has come over to the West in the curries that we know now, sort of thing.
Okay, we put the recipes up on our website. Aaron Cappell, thank you very much. Fascinating.